We're going to go back this morning in our teaching, and we've been teaching on a righteous consciousness. In other words, our consciousness, or we live conscious of the fact that we're righteous. It's a hugely important subject, and it's really where a lot of people have a lot of difficulty in this area. There was so much, really, when I came into the kingdom and got born again in the 80s, there was a lot of teaching and things in these areas. But today there's not a lot of teaching in the areas dealing with righteousness and dealing with these subjects. And these are foundational things. There's so much said in the scriptures because I believe that many people have faith problems because they have righteousness problems. They don't understand righteousness. And if you don't understand righteousness, you're going to operate in the areas of faith because faith and righteousness run hand in hand. We are righteous by faith. And learning to operate in that fact. We live in a world, and really the religious world of today, we talk about faith and things, and the religious world talks about it, but most people are trying to operate by works. They're trying to get God, doing things, trying to get God to like them. They're trying to do things. We want to live a life that pleases God. But, our approach to God, we want to do things. There's one thing in the areas. It doesn't mean that because we walk by faith, we don't have works. Well, surely if you're living by faith, you should have works that correspond to your faith, or it's a good chance you didn't believe what you said. So we want to have works, those kind of works. But those works, we're not trying to do performance. We're believing what God has done. We're believing He's doing what He says. That's what pleases God. Now, when we deal with the area of righteousness, one of the things that we talked about last week and we ended with was some scriptures over in the areas of Romans, the third chapter. And I want to go back to there because it dealt with the area that the book of Romans deals, in the beginning of the book of Romans, just deals intently on the area of righteousness. It talks about it time and time again. It deals with righteousness. And so it would sure pay you and I to understand righteousness, to understand about it. We were reading in the third chapter of the book of Romans, and at verse 19 it says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty before God. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." And understand this, God gave the law to Israel to give them the knowledge of sin, of what God liked and what He didn't like. If you didn't have that knowledge, it's sort of like to get along with an individual, a person, it sure helped to know what they like or don't like. You go to buy, somebody a gift. One of the things that always really amazed me sometimes about certain people, they buy people things they like. They don't find out what the person's like and what they like. If I want to spend money on something, I'd like to know what that person would like. It's not what I would like. I'm buying them a gift. I always get these people, that they come along and they're, I really like this. I want to get this for them. But what about what they would like? You're buying a gift for somebody. Well, it's just like with us with God. God revealed Himself because it would have been ignorant of God to ask man to please Him, and they don't know what pleases Him. They don't know nothing about Him. The information that God gave was so man would have a knowledge about sin, what the things that were wrong, what was wrong in the earth, and what didn't please God. And that knowledge, see, a lot of people don't like the law. It's today in the church world, you will never, almost always never hear the true gospel preached because the Bible says the law is a schoolmaster, brings people to Christ. In today's Christianity, very seldom do sinners ever know today what sin is because we live in a society where everything's all right. You can do any perverted thing today and it's basically okay. If you do something, you walk out in the crowd and pull your pants down, you will be praised. You'll be put on the news at night. You'll be magnified and glorified. People don't know what sin is. And if you don't preach what sin is, men have no idea why they would need saved. Saved from what? People say, you need to get saved. From what? And so you don't hear them talk. Well, no, we don't have the law anymore. Yes, the law is out there still today and it stands, and all sinners are going to be judged by it, whether they are ignorant of it or not. It doesn't matter. So it's understanding the fact the law told man what pleased God. Now the law could not justify man before God. Well, one of the reasons it couldn't is because man could never keep it. But she knew you couldn't be perfect in the law anyhow. But see, in man's perfection or what man does, and you need to understand this, you know, if you're a person who is a perfectionist, you're going to have a hard time in Christianity. If you're a perfectionist, you're going to have a hard time in Christianity. Now, because a perfectionist is always trying to make everything perfect. They're trying to always do it. And you know what? They never achieve it. And you know what? Perfectionists are always miserable people. Perfectionists ain't happy people. I've never been around a person with perfectionist is happy. They ain't ever happy. You can't get a perfectionist happy. Because nothing's ever perfect, and nothing's ever perfect to them. What you do seems fine and all right is never good enough for them. They have their way to do it, and it's got to be done like this. And it has to be, you know, this is perfect for me, you know. So it isn't. So we found out there was no perfection in the law, but the deeds of the law. The law couldn't justify an individual or make them righteous. It couldn't do it. It couldn't do it because it was man's performance. It was based upon man's performance. Man had the nature of sin. So his deeds are not going to rise up to what God wants or what God is looking for. And so we find in verse 21, it says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed." Now, apart from the law, God's righteousness is revealed. So see, you can't really look at the law and detect what's righteousness. You can't see it. Because righteous, you look at the law and you see what's wrong. What's messed up. And it's for a purpose. The law shows man his need for a Savior. You can't make it. You can't do it. Man needs a deliverer. Man needs God. When you because you try to follow the law, you can't. I mean, it's just, you know, it's do this, do that. Well, everybody comes along. And, you know, even from the standpoint, it isn't a matter of us sinning. You know, we just make mistakes because we don't know everything. We don't sin or intentionally sin just because we don't know everything. But understand this, we're dealing with a God who is perfect, a God who is righteous, and He cannot accept anything less than that. Do you know God can't accept anything less than perfection? That's why by your gifts or your whatever it is or your talents, you can't serve God and please Him. Oh, serve God with your talents. What do you think you're going to do? You think you're going to really impress Him? You think you could out-sing Him? You think you could outdo something else for Him? What do you think? Come on. Now just think about it. We're dealing with areas of God who is perfect. God reveals His righteousness. He was real. It says, being witnessed by the laws and the prophets. Now listen, one of this. How did it get revealed? Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. How does it come? There's only one way for you and I to operate or walk in the righteousness of God. You can't do it by performance. You cannot do it by works. It's by operating in faith. Faith in Jesus Christ brings righteousness. It's to us. It says to all and on all what who believe. So righteousness, in other words, because your performance is never going to be perfect. It's an impossibility to have perfect performance. Understand this. God is working through you and I who are imperfect vessels. You're not God. Have you noticed? Have you noticed? I mean, now I'm sure there's Christians who think they've arrived at the place that they've got it all. I always look at Paul, he said he hadn't arrived yet. I figure if Paul didn't arrive yet, there's a good chance Ed needs some more time. So what do we are? We're imperfect. We don't know everything. We can't do things perfectly naturally because we're not naturally perfect. You're living in a body that's dead in sin. You're living in a body that cannot enter heaven as it is. It's death doomed. It's a death-doomed body. The only way that's got to be changed into a new body, into a glorious body, to be accepted, to make it to heaven. It can't go into heaven, and it can't in any way get to heaven. Now, understand this. We're operating, we live, my human spirit is born again. And so it has, you know, it's been born in line with the nature of God, but I don't know everything about God, and I don't know everything. So my own human spirit is limited in its knowledge and things. It knows things about God if I feed it the Word of God and I build it. But it's also operating through an imperfect vessel. It's an imperfect vessel. Haven't you noticed? Have you looked in the mirror lately? No? See, that's why they do, they always have all this stuff now about, you know, how models, how they, you know, they touch them up and that stuff, the pictures, to make them look perfect. Why? Because they're not. Because they're not. And you know what? And then dumb people run out and try to buy all these products to be look like that. They don't realize. Just take a picture and then touch it up. I have software you can borrow. You can go ahead and touch it up and make you think you're something you're not. You know, because you ain't going to get there any other way. We're imperfect. We're imperfect vessels. So we have, you know, through our flesh, we have weakness and things and stuff like that. But we operate as best as we understand and we know how. And as we develop and grow, we should get better at it. But that doesn't mean we're perfect. So you and I can never approach God on the basis of performance, because your performance is always going to be weaker than His standard. His standard is going to be here, and your performance is always going to be here at best. Now, that doesn't mean we don't try to walk right or live right. But you understand, we're talking about perfection. How can you measure against perfection and put yourself here? Oh, come on, get real. Who do you think you are? See, we get real. But we need to understand this. God has, through His work, through Jesus Christ, and what He did through Jesus, through faith, we reach the standard of perfection. Perfection is reached through our faith. And you need to, if you don't ever get a hold of that and don't understand, because no way can my righteousness of my works meet the standard of perfection. It can't. It's impossible. But God, through faith in Jesus Christ, allows you and I to reach the standard of perfection, because if He didn't, you could never claim any promise of God. You could never, if born again required your work or your performance, it would never reach. Nobody could ever get born again. It would never happen. Could never take place. If you wanted to get healed, it'd be impossible to get healed. That's why so many people find it. They think it is impossible to heal, because they're always trying to get it by their performance. What they've done, this and that and the other thing. You know, I've been studying the Word about it. You don't get it by just, you study the Word, be good. But you reach it by operating in faith. Your faith is where righteousness is revealed. It's revealed through faith. It's always revealed through faith. Righteousness is always in manifestation. And so when you and I operate by faith, when we accepted Jesus Christ by faith, we just did it by faith, we met the standard that God set for perfection and righteousness. It had to be by faith. There was no other way to get it, folks. So God met the standard of righteousness through the performance of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had a perfect performance. And when God put the perfect performer and laid His sin on the perfect performance, and the perfect performance died for our sin and was raised from the dead through faith, now my performance in God's eyes through faith is perfect. See, through faith you can be perfect before God. People say you can't be perfect before God. Yes, I can in faith. By trusting God, my performance in His eyes is perfect. That's how you receive anything from God. Jesus could have never said you could ask the Father anything in my name and He'll give it to you if you couldn't meet the standard. There had to be a standard to do that. And the standard is this: righteousness. It's righteousness. He said here, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. See, it's not going to change. Somebody else don't get to act on a performance, and the other guy over here, he operates in faith, and God will let this guy because his performance is better than this guy. That is how it works. It'll never be that way. It operates the same for everybody. And I like that because of this. Anybody can believe God if they want to. Anyone can believe God if they want. There is no such thing as anybody has an advantage of faith over another individual. You determine whether you want to believe it's true or not. That's up to us. When we hear the word, now, someone may have an advantage from this standpoint. One may know more about what God has said and his promises say than another. I mean, the church that I was raised in, they weren't taught much about the promises of God or believing them. They thought you just got saved, hung on, tried to make it out of here one day and get to heaven. Thank God, at least they believed in going to heaven and getting saved. Mom and dad got there. Hallelujah. Good news. But they didn't know much about the thing. They always saw themselves in an unrighteous manner. They didn't realize how they pleased God the day they received Jesus Christ. They always looked at it from the human side. God looked at it as when they did that, their faith was an act of righteousness and God declared them righteous on birth. They were born righteous. Yet they never did walk around and see themselves in that light because why? They weren't taught that. Even though they were righteous. Well, they weren't righteous by performance. I can tell you that. I know my parents. Their performance wasn't perfect. Well, my performance isn't either. Thank God the basis of what is it is based upon our performance. Thank God. We want to do things right, but we want to operate in faith. He goes on to say, now speaking about there's no difference, that's when he made the statement, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody sinned and came short. That, the basis of righteousness or justification before God was on the basis of faith and not performance because everybody sinned. Nobody met the mark. No one met the mark. You didn't meet it. You know? Over the years, I've had people come to me and say, you know, I really don't have a testimony. I wasn't really bad, lived all these kinds of things and done all this bad stuff. And I always tell them, you're the worst sinner of all because you don't recognize how evil you were. You're the worst. The guy who talks about all the, at least he knows what he did wrong. You're sitting around playing self-righteous. I've never met a person who has ever said anything to me like that who ever lives in victory. They think they're pretty good. They think they were pretty nice. You know, I don't care. You just think about it. No matter how good you live, you know, it don't matter if you ever never said a bad word, never, you know, said talked about anybody, never did anything. That don't going to get you to heaven. The only one way to get there is through faith in Christ Jesus. That's it. That's the only way. There is no other way. There's people today who sit in churches across America are from a standard of being nice and good. They're nice and good, but they're not born again. Why? Because you can't approach God on the basis of your... You can never be righteous by your works. Your righteousness will never work. It's always down here. There's only one way. It's through faith in Christ alone, and that's the only way. It's amazing. I know I read the things that they did in the latest studies that they've done on people who believe in being born again. How many Christians, people who say they're born again, who believe that, you know, if you're really good, you're going to get to heaven. And they say they're about people being born again. I mean, the gospel has gotten so messed up in America. It's hard to even divide between people who say they preach the new birth. Loads of them, I don't believe, are saved. Because they don't. They still believe, you know, you're a pretty nice person. You're going to end up in heaven. Well, who set the standard of nice? Who gets to set that standard? I can go to different countries, and I mean, you can lie and cheat and steal, and they say it's nice. I mean, we got this new country down here. It's called Washington, D.C. If you trip down there sometime, they believe lying and cheating and stealing is good. Who's going to set the standard of what's good and what's not good? Well, see, I like this faith business stuff. I don't know about you. God set a standard that could not be met in any other way than by faith. To be righteous in His sight, the only way you could get there was by faith, and anybody could do it. In fact, it's so easy to do it. Jesus said, you got to have faith like child to get into the kingdom. Little kids can do it. Adults get so mind-filled with all kind of junk, they have a hard time with it, but it's their own fault. Because adults love their performance. We love our performance. We get so performance-oriented. Performance, performance, performance. And we don't realize, we don't know how to perform in the areas of faith. And the things that we want that can only be gotten by faith, we struggle and struggle and struggle to get, yet they're so easy to get because we're always trying to perform to get it. We're trying to find some way that I can do something to make it work. You know, God, you need my help. God, you can't do it without me. My word. Sit back, God. Just relax. Just watch me. I'll show you how. Verse 24, being justified. This speaks of you. You're justified. Being justified. Justified means made righteous. You're justified. Can you see what I mean? You're justified. How did you get justification? Free. Justification was free. In other words, there wasn't something to pay for it. You didn't have to do some special thing to get it. You didn't have to do nothing special. You got it strictly by faith. It was freely given. There's no other way to get free, get righteousness other than free. If it don't come free, you'll never have it. Just face the fact. You will never, ever, ever have it. There's only one way to get it, and that's free. And if it ain't given to you free, you'll never have none. I like number one, so I know that. In other words, my performance can't give that to me. In other words, my faith in God will give me righteousness. So I am justified freely. What? By His grace, through the redemption that's in Christ, I got it. It was given. You got it. You already have it. It's been given. It was given to you, and it's on you. That's what it says. It's all given to all, and it's on all, to those who believe. We read that. And how did you get it? Free. Did you have to perform something? No. You got through faith in Christ, it was given to you. See, many people are praying for things they already have. You guys have heard me say this so much. So many Christians are asking God for what they already got. Here's where you please God. You start acting like you have what He says you got. That's faith. That's a righteous act. That's how I meet the standard that God said for pleasing Him. It's by faith. If the Word says, by His stripes I was healed, then I need to start. If I want to please God concerning that, how do I do it? I act righteously. I believe that the Word's true is what He said. I am. That's a righteous act. See, now everybody else, what they, I'm going to do some great deed or do this and that. That's why I've heard people over time come to me, you know, I messed up here and there. But I told the Lord if He would do this for me or that for me, I will do this. You know, that's a stench of the nostrils of God. When you go to God, God, give me something based on my works. Here's what you deserve for all the best of your works. Nothing. You shouldn't even get a paycheck. You shouldn't get a nickel. Now, God would probably give you one because He feels sorry for idiots. We can't approach God on the basis of our performance and say, God, do this for me because I'm going to do that. No, we respond by faith. God says something, He believes it. And so, and acting in this. Now, we find out here in verse 25, which I love verse 25 because it says this to us. It says, whom God set forth, this Jesus Christ, as a propitiation by His blood through faith. How did He do it? He did it through faith. Jesus Christ was the sacrifice given. That's what a propitiation was, a sin offering. Jesus became the sin offering for your sin and my sin. Not for His sin. He hadn't sinned. It was for our sin. And it says this. What did He do this for? To demonstrate His, or God's, righteousness. Because in His forbearance, God passed over the sins that were previously committed. In other words, God, in sending Jesus Christ, was an act of righteousness. God showed and revealed His how righteous that He is. God did what He did because He's righteous. God, being righteous, is being right. God, you know, and that's why as I've said in this, as I've been teaching these things, God is righteous. He had to redeem us. He couldn't have not redeemed us, or He would not have been righteous. Righteous is what He is. And see, we look at that. Well, you didn't deserve to be, saved. You didn't deserve to be a child of God. That has nothing to do with anything. Why do we even discuss that stuff? Why do we even talk that stuff? It has nothing to do with nothing. God had to redeem you. He is a God of love, and the loves has to act in a righteous way. He had to redeem humanity. He had to do it. He had to act it out. So we can sit down and say, I don't deserve. That don't amount to nothing. Who cares whether I deserve it? He gave me righteousness. It isn't a matter of I deserved it. It's a matter of it's given. So what am I going to do? Sit around and keep talking over on the side of, well, I just don't deserve all this. Or am I just going to say, well, hey, the guy gave it, I'm taking it. I'm going to live and I'm going to have the good, or I'm going to stay over here and have the bad because I really don't deserve all that good. And that's been the church world. The church world is looking at what God gave and say, it's hard for us to believe it because we think, well, we got to earn this stuff, you know. God's going to save you. I taught for years in a Bible school a class on gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I found that I had never had one student, because of what they're taught in churches, and this is all Spirit-filled churches, you know, that you arrive to this epitome one day of really getting spiritual, the more manifestations of the Holy Ghost will operate through you. That's a total scriptural lie. They operate as the Spirit wills. But the Spirit, the Word always tells us, you know, it operates individually, you know, through each individual. As the Spirit wills. Well, I said to him, I said, you have to arrive at a point of epitome. I said, it's very interesting. Because, and this is why the Holy Ghost does not operate through most Christians, because they're trying to have it, well, those things work through them through their works. You know, I become, I arrived at the top now. Woo! Boy, I'm, well, that's pride there. Well, it ain't going to be working through you. I have reached the great epitome. And I always would take them over to 1 Corinthians, and I'd say, now let's go to 1 Corinthians. What do you guys think of the Corinthian church? And everybody's, oh, you know, Bible school students, oh, the Corinthian church, they were, you know, they were fleshly. They weren't walking. Oh, yeah. I said, gee, Paul said they come behind in no gifts. I thought you had to arrive at this great spiritual place for gifts to operate. I thought you had to go there. I said, now, I know you don't have to do that because gifts of the Holy Ghost started operating through me when I got filled with the Holy Ghost and I'd only been born again 3 months. And manifestations of the Holy Ghost started through me. And I had demonstrations of, but I said, I was stupid. I got taught by Kenneth Hagin. I wasn't going to a church at the time that told me dumb stuff. Thank God. And told me that when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, stuff would operate through me. I believed it. See, I operated in righteousness of faith. I didn't listen to all those preachers and wonder why. Well, they couldn't see. And this is through you as an individual. You need to know this. God has given these things. They operate by faith. They don't operate. This is why people get confused. They'll sit around and watch a minister. Well, man, that guy does a lot of different things wrong, yet manifestations of the Spirit operate through him. Why? Because it don't operate by works. And the reason it don't operate through you, the person saying it, is because they're in unbelief. They're sitting down there, that's... He don't have the works to make that. He don't have all the works. It operates by works. Don't they know? And what they don't realize is they're not operating themselves in the operation of righteousness by faith. They're believing in the righteous. God will use me if my work standard gets high enough. Then God will do this and God will do that. And they don't understand and know that God already is, like, how many times have you guys heard me say it? I quote from Ephesians, the first chapter. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Does it say we've been blessed with some and we've got to wait for the others? It says we have been. It's something God has done. See, it's the whole thing of you. See, man, if I achieve and I do wonderful things, then I can have them. Then I can get them. The wonderful things, the bad thing about believing in that way that I arrived to that point is because the person never arrives at that point. They never get there. They live an entire Christian life waiting for God to use them. And they say, I don't understand why God doesn't use me. He can't. He can't operate through you by your works. He can't do that. That's against the rules. Why? Because you never reach his righteousness. You never reach the place that is required. Because it's required by faith. And I always want to go on this standard, which we feel is very high, but it's the lowest of low, my works. We're always trying to achieve it at that point. As I've always used the example of, as a minister's conference I was at, and there was hundreds and hundreds of ministers there. I mean, there's at this conference, and we're sitting there in this place, and probably about 400 or 500 ministers sitting in the place. And Bob Yandian was the guest speaker. He is a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Bob was one of the first deans of Rhema when it first started. But Bob Yandian, a very good Bible teacher. I have some of his book. He has some great teaching stuff. On different areas of righteousness and things that Bob talks about. But Bob Yandian stood up in front of all these, word people, we believe the Bible, we're these word folks. And he stands up in front of them, and Bob's talking the areas of faith. And he makes a statement, he stops and says, I don't get money from God by my giving, I get money by faith. Well, you could have heard a pin drop in the place. And I should have stood in my chair and screamed, hallelujah, somebody finally said the truth. Dear God, I ain't heard it for years. They sure never preach it off of TV. They tell you, if you don't send the check, you ain't getting nothing. And people send the checks and never get nothing. He said, I get from God by my faith. And he's right. I don't care how many checks you put in. It ain't till you operated in faith. If that check and things weren't done by faith, faith comes before the action. I believe, therefore I do. See, Abraham believed God, and then he went over to the place. But he believed God first, and then he went out to the land God told him to go to. He didn't go out to the, if he didn't went to the land, so when I get over there and God gives me something, I'll believe it. He didn't do that. We'll look at that. He didn't do that. He didn't operate in that way. And see, what people are trying to do, they're trying to put their works in front of it. My giving in the front of my faith. No, hold it. You can't do that. I can't get God to do something for me because I do some good deed. That ain't faith. I'll read one more scripture, verse 26 of that same place. It says, to demonstrate, in other words, God did this to demonstrate at the present time what? His righteousness. God sending Jesus demonstrated to you and I His righteousness. That He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ. God presented His righteousness to justify you and me or to make us righteous. That's why He did it. To me, this stuff is such good news to read. When I sit down and look at this stuff, and I think, man, the work and struggling that people go through to try to please God, what we're trying to do and getting there, is you can't get there under any other way than trusting God. You'll never develop spiritually other than through faith in God. I don't care how much you work at it. It's nothing wrong with studying and doing things and want to do it, but you've got to be operating in faith. You got it believing what the Word says, saying I have it. Waiting to grow up. I'll tell you, I'm growing all the time. Hallelujah. Why? Because I read the Word of God, and the Word of God is the incorruptible seed, and it's working in me mightily. Hallelujah. Well, sometimes it don't seem like naturally it is, but I ain't going to say something else. I'm not going to speak an unrighteous word. See, we have all kind of unrighteous acts, but we don't see them. That's why we do all this teaching about guarding your mouth. People don't realize that's their unrighteousness. Their mouth is running, pushing unrighteousness all the time, trying to get stuff from God. I don't work. It's agreeing with what God said. Speak about yourself. That's why I speak about yourself like God says. Well, I tell you what, I just don't get nothing out of this, and I just... Don't say that stuff. That's a lie against the Word of God. That's not righteous. That's not the right way to speak. You're the righteousness of God. You know, you running yourself down is doing evil. Do you ever think about that? Because you're knocking God's creation. There's no humility in it. That's 100% stupidity. 100%. There ain't no humility in it. You don't knock God's creation. You're God's creation. You say the right things. Why? Because you can't ever develop and grow if you don't. You got to start saying what God said. He said the good work that He started in you, He's going to bring it to completion. You shouldn't be saying anything else about it. You shouldn't be looking down the road at your end and seeing it diminished in any way. You ought to look down the road and say, praise God, when Jesus Christ comes, I'm going to be a lot better off right then than I am now. Glory to God, I'm getting better. That's righteousness. That's righteousness speaking. And see, we got to do that. That's the right. We're saying what we're believing what God said, and we're saying what God said, and we're acting righteously. And you know what standard? It meets this standard. Glory to God! Hallelujah! God's there. Woo! So they met the standard. They met the standard, and He's tickled to death. Well, and the next person comes along and says, "I'm going to try my best to follow God." That, there you go, right down there. And they think they just said something that was really meaningful. No, it wasn't. God never said that. God never asked you to try to follow Him. Never. You know, Peter talking to, Jesus talking to Peter, He didn't say, try to follow Me and I'll make you fishers of men. He said to Peter, follow Me. And Peter went and followed Him and became it. But we're always trying. Today, it's always this thing. Try your best. Forget it. Don't even bother if that's what you're going to do. Your best is always going to be down here. Through faith, I can bring things to pass that Ed's works. It is impossible. I can even conceive in my mind to do it. I can walk in divine health. And there ain't no way I can achieve that. I don't know how to make that work. But I know if I believe what God's Word says about it and talk what God's Word says about it, it makes it work. And it sure don't work for me on the basis of performance. My performance has stunk many times. Just like yours. But you know, I've learned a long time ago, I never approach God based on my performance. Never. God never asked me to approach Him on the basis of my performance. He told me if I did wrong, He said, just say it. He said, all I had to do was say it. He said He'd forgive it. He didn't say I had to go through some rigmarole of, asking Him to forgive me. He said, if you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive it. He didn't say if you ask Me to forgive it. He said, you just admit you did wrong. We, religion, just tacks on all kind of more garbage on the end of it to make it now we got this nice religious work here we're doing and wonder why things don't work out, why we walk away with guilty conscience, because we just carry our little religious things along of how I'm going to fix this thing. We're going to fix the unfixable. Number one, I can't obliterate my sin. I only know one who can. So it's best to do it the way that He said, because it's a lot easier. Because I'll be 6 months down the road still trying to get this thing fixed that I messed up and never have it fixed. Because why? I'm operating over the areas of works. God wants to help as much as He can, but He can't work and help in it because of my righteousness. So, but when I approach him by faith. Now, I want you to look at this. When God says in Romans, the fourth chapter, we were in the third chapter, jump to the fourth chapter. It says this about Abraham, and I love this looking at Abraham because he's a picture for us. But I want you to understand this. We're much better off than Abraham is. Abraham's the father of faith. But you and I are in a far superior righteousness than Abraham. Abraham, this is what it says. Now, we're not knocking Abraham because Abraham operated in the righteousness that a human could operate in at that time. But it has never changed what it is. Look at what it says in verse 3. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him as righteousness. Do you know that your righteousness is not accounted to you? Your righteousness is by birth. Huge difference. Abraham had no birth righteousness. Abraham wasn't born again. He couldn't be born again. We're righteous. But understand this. But the principle has always been the same with God. You see why? If you understand righteousness and faith, how it works, you can read about David and understand how David pleased God. David couldn't have pleased God by his works. Yet God would do all kinds of stuff for David. Why? Because David didn't go to God and base some of these works. Never. Read David's stuff. David talked about how he missed it and the trouble he was in and all that stuff. But God, you'll deliver me. You'll set me free. Buddy, you just know all kind of dumb stuff. Go over and read the psalm that talks about David and what happened to him after Bathsheba. Goes down a few scriptures talking about how he sinned, where he missed it, and then it goes on from there how God's going to deliver him and God's going to do all this wonderful stuff for him. He was operating in the righteousness of faith. He always pleased God. Most Christians grovel in their sin for years on end, grovel in their troubles for on yet, talk about their problems for years on end, and they never go over to the righteousness of faith. David understood that. Every time David went over and believed God, he believed God would save him. He believed God would do something even though he messed up. He believed God would fix it. He believed God would get him back on top again. And he would talk like God was going to get him back on top again. I mean, he just had a man murdered. And go read the Psalm sometime and see what he said. My God, he didn't speak nothing like people speak today. Why? He had a righteousness by faith. He was talking because God said, this is what I want to do to humanity. And he's talking like God wants to do it to him. God wants to deliver him. God wants to save him. God wants to help him. He has a covenant with God, and he's talking like he has a covenant. The covenant didn't stop because he did wrong. Our covenant don't quit because we missed it. If God promised to bless me, he can't back out of it because I missed it. Or what good's a covenant? What on earth? Who cares? If you don't have to, every little thing, you stop, and then the covenant don't work no more. You know, the covenant will always work. When you and I respond to God by faith, always, it'll always work. Respond to God by faith. That's why David's a wonderful picture of how. Why was he pleasing to God? Because he's operating by faith. If he missed it, he'd be, you know, right. You know, he missed it, was told about the thing he did with Bathsheba. Took another man's wife, had sex, committed adultery, killed the husband. Now, according to law, David should have been stoned to death and killed. And what did God did? God, because he turned to God on the thing, God blessed him. It's insanity. Because really, see, this faith and righteousness stuff, it is. It almost seems insane. It's like Kenneth Hagin used to talk about the fact when you get over to faith and righteousness and this stuff, he said, you see the things, he said, when you look at David and his men, all this stuff going on, he said it was almost like reading one of these comic books and that stuff with superheroes. See, people get over an operation of faith. You want to get over in the supernatural, you operate in faith. That's what takes you to the supernatural. Because God's supernatural, the last time I checked. And his righteousness is a supernatural righteousness. It has to be. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's so above us. But yet it was given to us. Through faith in Christ, we have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You and I stand. Abraham, come along. Abraham's faith was accounted to him righteousness. But it says, now to him who works, the wages are not accounted as grace, but as debt. So if you're going to go out here and work at it, you're saying, God, you owe me. That's never going to get it with God. That will never get it with God. God, you owe me. God, I did what you said, you owe me. No, God will bless you because he said in his word he would. I don't want what's owed me. I want more. If you're only going to get from God what he owes you, expect very small checks, very low denominations, you know, probably no higher than single digits. Don't expect much. I mean, how are you going to compare your works to perfection? How are you going to do it? How are you going to compare what you believe is owed you compared to that? You can't. I mean, God looks at it and say, man, you're lucky if you got a penny out of the deal. If he gave you a penny, it would have been grace. Well, what a man. I mean, think about it. It would have been grace. Because the comparison, you can't. What do we stand against perfection? But God gave you a righteousness by faith which is perfect, which allows you to stand in the presence of God righteous, without guilt, without a consciousness of being unworthy. See, you should never have a consciousness of you don't deserve to be in the presence of God or you're not good enough. You should never have that. How could we justify the scriptures in Hebrews that tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy if I should be, I should have a guilt conscience? See, a guilt conscience will keep you out away from God instead of drawing you to God. It'll keep you back from Him. I'm not good enough.
I've
heard people say, you just don't know what I've done. I always look at the person and say, I don't give a rip what you've done, neither does God. That has nothing to do with my approach. If I'm a Christian, it's nothing to do with my approach to God on the basis of my performance. I can get my performance issues straightened out when I go into His presence. It says there's mercy there and there's grace to help in time of need. In other words, I can get help so I get better performance. Glory to God. I don't know about you. That's good news. And see, that's why guilty conscience will always lead you away from. If you have an unrighteous consciousness, you will always have a very limited faith. You'll have a limited faith because you'll feel inferior in the presence of God. You'll read the scripture say you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but you'll never confess the word by faith like you really are. If you have a guilty conscience, you can say, yeah, I believe that's true, but you'll never live or walk like it's true. God wants you to live and walk like you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He wants you to live in that place where Jesus said, you can ask anything in my name and the Father will give it to you. He wants you to live there. He wants you to go to that place that you never feel inferior in the presence of God. That's where He wants you at. That's where He wants you to be. Verse 5 there says, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies, or we could say makes righteous, the ungodly. Ooh, we were the ungodly, but we ain't no more. We're the justified. We're the righteous. He said, why? For faith is accounted for righteousness. See, faith made us righteous. We were born righteous. Just think of the superiority of your righteousness and over Abraham. Look what God did for Abraham and his descendants. Look at how God supernaturally delivered Abraham's descendants out of Egypt. How supernaturally He took them across the desert. How supernaturally He took them to a land. All based upon a righteousness by faith. What should our righteousness do? See, the church has expected less. They've expected less. They thought we got born again. That was the biggie. Well, it is big. I mean, it's huge. But let me tell you what. You got born again for a purpose. And that's so God can manifest Himself in the earth like He'd like to. And this happens by faith. When Jesus told Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, He put it over in our side. You know, you'll determine how much God there is in this earth. You'll determine how much happens or goes on. It's in the church's hands. But see, if the church don't see themselves as righteous, they look, sit down, we're waiting on God. We've been praying for revival and we're waiting on God. God's up there going, oh man, trying to stay awake with these people is tough. Whoa! Sure like to see some faith down there about this stuff. I like to... Hallelujah. He still likes us though. He don't throw rocks at us. He never shooting bolts of lightning down. And he didn't bring the hail in Oklahoma that was golf size, you know. He didn't do that. He wasn't trying to make that happen. Hallelujah. Let's look over here at, and I want you to look at Romans, the fourth chapter again, and jump to verse 13. I want you to see this because, again, it's talking about righteousness. It's referring to Abraham, and because we're dealing in the areas of promise. And this is what God's talking about. Now, we have salvation that we received. That was a promise of God to every human being born again. But we find out about promise because we understand. You need to understand this. These things are on every promise of God. This is how you operate and how you get things from God and maintain or get a hold of these promises. They're all done by faith. That's how it happens. You got into the kingdom by faith. Faith is what operates and works in the kingdom. In Romans 4 and verse 13 says, for the promise that he would be heir of the world was not made to Abraham or to his seed through the law. He said, but what? But through the righteousness of faith. The righteousness of faith. That's how faith. That's how you. The righteousness of faith is how he gets the promise. That's how his descendants get the promise. They don't get it by their works. Israel would have never been delivered from Egypt based on their works. Good God. God sent, you know, Moses down there to deliver them, and after a while they're mad at Moses. Surely he didn't do it. It's the righteousness of faith. The righteousness of faith. And we need to understand that. You can't approach this God. It's always that way. The promise is never through law, or it's not through works. It never is. I performed and I did everything right, then God will do this for me. Well, we'll never have much. The promise always comes. When you sit down and people say, oh, look at the promises in the Word. The promises are to be received, not asked for. Did you hear that? Did you hear? If you heard that, raise your hand. Did you hear what I said? They're not to be asked for, they're to be received. The prayer of faith is receiving. You believe you receive when you prayed. It's not asking for, as if God, you're asking Him to give it. It's believing He gave it and acting like it's yours. That's righteous. That's righteousness. It's by faith. See, you're believing what the Word says. And see, God promised Abraham that he would be the heir of the world. How did that happen? How did it get? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham believed that God was going to do that. Abraham believed it before he ever saw his heirs. Abraham died before he saw all them scumbags on the other side. All those guys that weren't living right. But it came to pass because Abraham believed God would do that for his descendant. Abraham's descendants didn't get blessed because of them. They got it because Abraham believed God would do what he promised. If Abraham believed that God would do what he promised, God had to, on Abraham's faith, carry it out. He could not carry it and say, I'm not going to do it. I don't like their performance. He couldn't do it. That would have been an unrighteous God. If God said, I'm going to bless your seed and your seed is going to bless the world, and Abraham says, I believe you on that, and he lives that out believing that, when Abraham's seed comes along, I'm going to tell you, they were trouble. But did God turn around and say, I ain't going to bless them? Nah, you don't believe what a bunch of scumbags they were. No. He made the promise to Abraham. The promise was carried out because of Abraham's faith. The children of Israel got delivered out of Egypt because of the faith of Abraham, not because of their faith. God had to deliver them because Abraham believed God. The promise was to Abraham, and it says it's Abraham and his seed, but Abraham believed it and God did it. Well, he couldn't have done it on their performance. They had stayed locked up down there. Pharaoh would have run them for the roots until they all died. How did he do it? He did it by faith. If God promises you something, as God, like I've talked already, things God promised me and spoke to me about, and I speak those things, you know, somebody, well, what if a person does this or does that? I don't give a rip what they do. It don't matter. This is between me and God. It's a promise between me and God, and I believe it. God has to carry it out. You know, God talks about saving Israel. God's going to save a remnant of Israel. Now, Israel is a nation not now. They don't generally, they don't believe. There's not many Jews in Israel that believe in Jesus Christ. So, on their faith, is God going to save them? Well, He can't. How's He going to do it? Well, the Bible tells this. He's going to save them. He said, I'm not going to save them for their sake. He said, I'm going to save them for my name's sake. In other words, God put a promise to Himself and said, I'm going to deliver them in spite of them. Israel ain't going to get delivered. Jesus Christ ain't going to come back and save Israel because Israel's going to do a lot of great things. He's going to come back for His name's sake. See, God puts things out in promise and they're going to come to pass. For us, in believing God, when the Lord spoke to me, in fact, the psalm was read today by Eileen, read the psalm today that what the Lord spoke to me about with my kids, about a man who fears the Lord, walks in His way, his wife is a fruitful vine by his house, and his children as olive plants around his table. It says, thus shall be the man who fears the Lord. And when he told me that, the Lord said this to me, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll guarantee you your family. I'm going to tell you, I got a promise with God. I got a promise with God, and I stand on that. Hallelujah. I don't care what I see going on. It don't move me in the least. They said, well, what if they do this or they do that? I don't give a. The promise ain't between me and them. It's between me and God. And what counts is whether it'll work of what I believe. As long as I believe, my righteousness is right up here. God's got to do it. God's got to get things straightened out. I've never spent all the time in prayer that people do about stuff and their families and carrying on and all that kind of stuff. My God, you wear yourself out. And then they go and watch them and say, oh my God, we've got to pray for them some more. Well, it didn't do any good for the praying you're praying before because it's all by sight, all by sight, all by sight. I see them do bad. Pray, pray, pray. I see them do bad. No faith involved in it. Don't believe God's going to do anything about it. We're as soon as they do something bad. Well, my God, well, they're all going to hell anyhow. So it's on the handbasket. So I gotta always be out there fixing this thing. And see, what happens is people wonder why things do never change. They can't change. Nobody's operated in faith yet. Nobody's ever believed God. So you find promises in God and you stand on those promises and you take the promise. That's for the righteous. It isn't by, I don't have to try to perform and try to make this thing work. My God, I can't do it. It wear you out. You know, could you ever have peace and joy in life living this stuff they call today? I mean, what people are trying to do, how do you go there? You can live by faith and you can live at peace and joy because I don't have to be God. Oh my God, I am so glad I don't have to be God. I am so glad I don't have to be God. I am so glad I don't have to be God. I can believe Him and God will be God. He'll do it. And why? Because I was given a righteousness. I was given this right. They say, well, you don't deserve it. Who cares? I don't give it. I got it. If I'm walking around with $1 million in my wallet, somebody gave to me, I don't care if I didn't work 2 days of my life to deserve any of it. It don't matter. It's my money in my pocket, and I'm going to be using it. You know, I'm not going to be having this old dead religion of unworthy. We're not worthy of it. We're not worthy of salvation. Well, I'm going to argue with you about it, but it's too late. I am saved. Whether worthy or not. Too late. I'm born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, child of God, righteous and holy in His sight, separated unto God. Say, well, you don't look it and you don't always act it. I don't care. It's the way it is. And I will tell you this, you will never live a decent life till you believe it. You'll live like hell when you believe you're hell. When you believe you're just an old unrighteous thing and you believe that you ain't good enough, I'll tell you, you'll live like you ain't good enough. You'll live like you ain't righteous. Whatever you believe is the way you're going to go. And I found that out a long time ago. Kenneth Hagin, I remember years ago, and he said, you're going to arise in your Christian walk to live to what you believe you are. And he said, if you don't believe that you're righteous, you don't believe that you're holy, you don't believe those things, he said, you're always measuring yourself by works. He said, you know, you're never going to rise to anything. You'll always stay down there. He says, it's coming up to the place of believing what God said you are and start believing it. And he said, you're going to find yourself that you'll start arising to that. You're going to rise. That's why this junk of these 12-step programs where people always got to start off all the time talking about what lowlifes they are. Well, they can't go there because they're full of believing they're a lowlife. That's not how you get there. You arrive by calling you what God says you are. And God declared you righteous. I'm not going to say any other thing about it. I'm not going to declare anything else about it other than I'm righteous. God declared it. God declared that about you. And see, you start believing. I will guarantee you this. Your actions will become more righteous the more you believe you're righteous. The more you believe that you are something, the more you'll start to live toward that. We don't call ourselves righteous to try to justify stupidity and ignorance and sin. It's just who I am. You know, I was born into a family and the last name was Gibson. No matter how I act or what I did, I was a Gibson. That was it. That was it. My mama never said, you know, you're so bad, we're going to call you Smith from now on. You old ignorant thing. You're just going to be. No. She'd get mad and say, Edward Lee Gibson. She'd call me by the last name. And I knew when she was using the last name. there was going to be some righteousness fulfilled shortly if Ed didn't straighten out. But she always called me, and you need to know this, that you, God made you righteous, and that's what you are. You may sin and you may do unrighteous acts, but that not does not change the family that you belong to. That does not change your rights and privileges to go to your daddy and go into his presence. It never changes that. But see, if you live on a low level and live in that place where, you know, well, I'm just not worthy or good enough, and look what I've done. I can't get before God because look what I've done. Look at this. You're never going to make it. You can't make it like that. Righteousness has always been by faith. And I say, thank God for it. I am so glad. I am so glad because I know this about me. I could never reach the mark. And I know about you guys too. You can't reach the mark. But hallelujah. We, through Christ Jesus, think about it. The day that you accepted Jesus as Lord, you got born again and you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what you became. That's what you became. That's what you are. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We know it's not based upon works, but who cares? I'm still the righteousness of God. You're still the righteousness of God. You still are the righteousness of God. You can still, without a guilt conscience, and we may, our conscience, if we sin, our conscience may bother us, but if you follow your conscience and you're taught right, it'll never keep you out of the presence of God. You'd immediately go to 1 John 1:9 and say, Lord, yeah, I blew it. Thank you for forgiving me and cleansing me from that unrighteous act that I did. It's not, you didn't become an unrighteous person because you sinned. You committed an unrighteous act. See, an unrighteous act for you and I is not, it doesn't coincide with our nature. You know that? Why? Because our nature is righteous. And that's what it's about. We confess our sin because that action doesn't correspond with our righteousness. And we say, God, I don't want to have that. Let's get that one out of there. I don't want the fruit of that thing. I don't want that thing hanging on to me. But most people, they carry that junk around in a sack. They keep it with them all their life, carrying that junk around with them. Oh, and you know what? 20 years later, they can tell you where they missed it. They're still talking about it. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I hope I preached you happy. I hope it makes you glad. Because we're living in a world... We're, you know, all the craziness that's going on out here. And sometimes, you know, we're dealing with things and we're, man, where are we at? It's not hard for us to rise up, folks. I just want to encourage you. It's not hard for you to rise up. It's just by faith. It's just by faith. Saying, God, praise God. God, I just want to thank you for making me righteous. I want you to thank you, Father God, hallelujah, that you made me. I want to thank you. I can come before you, God. I can ask anything according to your will, and I can know that you hear me. And if I know that you hear me, I know you're going to do it for me. Glory to God, it's mine. See, if you understand righteousness, it'll make you bold. He'll be bold, and God will be cheering. Oh, he'll get up and do a little jig around the throne, my God. I tell you, I bet God gets excited. Because, you know, it's like Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, God will move over 1 million people just to get to one person standing in faith. He's doing it all the time. And he don't mind it at all. He don't mind. He sees somebody operating in faith, he's excited. He sees somebody who comes and approaches him and just believes what he said and not believing in their own righteousness and what they think they've done. Just saying, Lord God, you're going to do this for me because I'm your child. And he's going, whoa, let me at him. I'm so glad I get an opportunity. God is a giver. And when we don't operate in faith, you stop him from giving, and I want to tell you this, I can't believe of anything that probably grieve God more. Because God's a giver. Love's a giver. If God can't give, that has to grieve him more than anything. And when we operate in faith, it opens the door to God to be able to give to us. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to say thank you this morning. You made us righteous. And Father God, we receive that righteousness. It's ours. We're righteous. Hallelujah.